Hey guys, it's Ethan here, and I'm joined with Dr. Cheryl LaGrange and Colin LaGrange here. We are on Beamy Lake here in central Maine, just enjoying a day of boating and fishing and masterminding and all kinds of great things. You guys have had quite a run this year.
Yes.
So far. Yes. And maybe you guys can share with the group what kind of practice you have, and I'll kind of move the conversation forward with a bit about what we've been talking about.
We have a chiropractic office in central Maine, in Old Town, Maine, where I am the primary doc. We are looking to expand. We are on the verge, with the help of TBA and an amazing team, of medically integrating, adding new services. We've spent the last few days dreaming big. We have a BHAG. He'll tell you what that means.
The big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes. And it is big, and it is hairy, and it is audacious. But we realize that it is possible.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, there's thinking big, but then there's also, well, what does it take to really go from serving 3,000 people a year to serving 30,000 people a year? And we really mapped out a lot of stuff with, you know, multiple locations, and maybe even in the future someday, being open 6 or 7 days a week, full time. Yeah. I mean, there's all these interesting ideas operationally, but how important has it been to dive in with your team and really keep investing in them? Because you guys can't do it all yourself.
No way. No way. It's been absolutely vital. It really has been vital. And TBA gives us that opportunity as many times a year as we can make the trip down. You guys are available with your amazing knowledge, expertise, and pouring in. I've never been part of any other coaching company, but I feel like we are part of your family and you're part of ours. And I love when you're teaching us, you say we and ours instead of, because it's not just you standing there pointing at fingers and that. You literally are partnering with us, and you're in the business with us. So the opportunity to bring our staff and to pour into them has been remarkable. And I think they would say the same.
Yeah.
Tiffany can speak to that.
I didn't pick one.
But Tiffany could speak to that.
It doesn't want it.
It doesn't want it. Okay, fine. She's going to sit there and relax. We understand.
Okay, so
call it yourself. Yeah.
You know what I think is cool is that we can cross division for our staff, but it's really cool when an external consultant, expert in the field, done it in other practices, comes and looks at these people in the eye and say, I can see you running this department. I can see you running another office. I can see you expanding to be the head, not over just the CAs in this office, but in terms of other clinics and bigger stuff. And it gives them that confidence and capability to see that bigger picture. And that's really cool. And also sees us, you know, the biggest problem with owners, and we fell into that for years, is this need to do everything yourself.
Yes.
What we've loved, and I've explained it to other people or patients, and say, what do you guys go to Florida for? I said, we're learning how to run a business, but we bring our staff, and you guys train our staff to do the work in the way that you're teaching us how to run it.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That's a really cool thing. So we don't have to learn these things, come back and spend our time trying to teach them how to do the protocols. We learn what the protocols are. You teach them how to do the protocols, and we can manage that. And to me, that's like really valuable. And then coming in and inspiring them to say, okay, so now you guys know this. Now you know the management. You can be that management at the next level.
Yeah.
In running your own departments, your own part of the practice. And that's really, really crucial to the growth.
What would you say, this is interesting, for those that are watching, going from, say, $50,000 a month as a practice and then breaking the six figures in a month mark, right? There's a big gap between doing that.
Yes.
And there is, everyone I think wants to talk about, well, if I add all these service centers, I'm going to make all this money, right? Mm. But what would you say is a best practice? If you could rack your brain, there's so many things you guys have implemented over the years to allow for a sustainable jump like that. But what would you say is some best practices you guys have done to sustainably kind of grow to that level, or got you there? Because again, you don't do a ton of marketing, right? You have a great loyal patient base. You deliver amazing service, but yeah, whether it's the team or whether it's delegation or whether it's, I don't know, how would you guys describe what allowed that jump to happen, or maybe some things you implemented that made that work?
Constant desire to improve, to grow, and to fine-tune the nitty-gritty of what you're doing. It's definitely different from running just an ordinary practice where you've got a ceiling goal of just enough patients to pay your bills. We've got different goals than that. And the jump from going from that $50,000 a month practice to the $100,000 a month practice or more really is huge in terms of committing to learning, committing to training, constantly trying to improve, constantly working on fine-tuning processes, having regular meetings, talking and getting with the coaches, doing the courses that you guys provide that give us the skills to achieve that. Because, you know, before that, when you're at the $50,000 level per month and you want to look at the $100,000, it's like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon and going, well, I need to get there, but I have no idea how to get there. Well, we do now.
Yeah.
It's not without a lot of work. It's with a lot of work, but we have the desire, and you guys give us the tools.
Yeah, that's great.
If you speak to that, it's just, we've never been afraid of work. And if there's any of those practitioners out there where you're grinding hour after hour, seeing as many patients as you can, you're fully booked. It's cool. But now you go, well, how do I leverage what I've already got? I sell supplements in my practice. How do I leverage that to do a lot of it without me having to do it all? How do we leverage therapies where, you know, Cheryl being the chiro, she can only see so many patients. But other things that complement the chiro, other cash services and those kind of things, they're right there. You've got the patients, you've got the infrastructure, you've got the staff. It's just learning to bring them in and allowing the staff to realize, hey, we could also be income generators. We're not just support to the income generator.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest shift. That meant not one person is earning the money. Now many are earning the money.
Yeah.
And they also feel like, well, we're contributing and bringing that new level of income with services that were kind of already been offered. And then once you've like mastered what you're doing with already what you got, then bringing on other things, because you know that we've got a system, it's just another modality that we add into that.
So to speak to that, you've gone through a journey of really developing a team. And I think that's often overlooked by businesses. They go, it's a nice to have. It would be nice to have a good team that'll work together, but yeah, that's not going to get me new patients tomorrow. And it's not, I need to get new patients. I need to get revenue in the door, right? And they tend to put the, let's have the right people and the right seat on the bus mentality. How important has been having the right people and then removing the wrong people from this team? Again, it seems like a nice to have, but how vital has it been to implement the most recent service center you guys put in, which was cash? And then obviously for putting in more service centers, to have the right people doing the right things, trained well, all on the same team, all getting along, you know, moving forward.
It's absolutely crucial. It's so vital. It's like having wheels on your car. You cannot drive it without wheels. And literally, the right people in the right positions with the right attitude is absolutely crucial. If you've got all the ideas and the ability to dream in your mind, but you don't have the right people in place, you will never, ever achieve that. And having the wrong people in the place will make you go further backwards than you even were.
What are examples of red flags? If you were to look at a team, or if you were to look at your practice as a consultant years back, what would have been red flags that might be happening in practices right now that, you know, they're kind of ignoring and putting them aside, but really could be hampering a lot of their ability to make money and serve patients?
Lack of communication between staff members. People not being on the same page and what is required of them. Personality attributes where they are maybe a little bit anti-helping, or they're very self-centered or lazy, or all those type of things that might have been hidden in the beginning, but they reveal themselves during the employment. Those type of things.
Having the right person in the correct job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we first took over, we had an absolute introvert that had been in this practice at the front desk. And she was stressed. She's terrified of people, but yet she's having to face people every day. That's ridiculous. You know, put in a person who's good at certain skills in the right position, it doesn't mean you have to like get rid of everyone. It means that that person can shine in the right place. And I think identifying who's good at what and being able to see that as a leader and say, okay, we don't want you out, but we want you out of that position. But something we learned early on in TBA is that having a bad employee, the one that doesn't want to learn, doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to grow with the company in the direction the company's going, is worse than not having that job filled. We didn't believe that. So, yeah, they're not great, but at least they're doing something. And the whole team now knows that if the wrong person is in, they mess with the ethos of the team. And people need to know that you as the leaders have got their back to say, yeah, you listen to all corporates. And I've had many patients complain to say, oh, we've got this terrible person. They never do the work. And everyone's covering for them. And everyone's doing that. We learned from TBA, it takes three people to cover one person's bad job.
Mm.
So now you suck in all of those resources. And instead, when you identify that person, read them out, the whole team uplifts and they go, wow. It doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means they were wrong for like your ethos or your company. So something we've adopted now as a company is the whole staff interviews any new person.
Oh, that's good.
So it's really intimidating for the new person to come in. So either you're going to not make it or not. But then everybody knows we've chosen, but not the leadership. We all chose this person because everyone's going, okay, yeah, we can see them fitting in our close-knit family. And that's the cool part. That's been really, really awesome for that's us cool. to go, okay, guys, someone didn't work out. We all chose them. We didn't see these attributes. It's not just like, oh, that person. Huh? So it's quite cool. So it's very nice having a close-knit team, but they're also a bit nervous about bringing someone on because they don't want anyone to disrupt the cohesiveness. So having everyone involved, that's been crucial.
That's a really good best practice. You guys are watching back at home. It's like, that's something you can definitely, it's a good takeaway to implement in your office right away. Going from a technician and you guys are both incredible clinicians. And you've served thousands and tens of thousands of people plus over the years. What have you learned from the Business Academy the most? I'm sure there's many, but to be a better business owner, a better entrepreneur, a better executive, what is that one or two or a couple of lessons that went, and then all of a sudden now over the years, it's compounded into being a better business person, as well as being an amazing clinician and practitioner?
I would say it's one of the first things we learned at TBA, which is not to try and do everything yourself, not to wear every single hat in the business, to hire strategically and draw up each hat and have people responsibly take care of those things so that you can do what it is that you have to do. I mean, every single chiropractor opened maybe not every single one, but most of them bought the toilet paper, cleaned the toilet, washed the floors, billed the patients, did everything in addition to all the adjusting. So the antithesis of that is where all you do is the dreaming and the running and the adjusting. If that, like me, I'm still doing that. And then you have the right people in the right place doing all the other jobs. That I would say is number one.
That's awesome. Go on, how about yourself?
Well, like the point I just made is about the right person, the right job. I'm not a manager. I'm a clinician. Put me in front of patients, give me a chance to work on the patients. I thrive. Trying to like manage the people, do that job, run this. We had an enormous organization before. And I had a PA and I said to her one day, as a personal assistant, not a physician's assistant, I said to her, think of me as a boss that's in meetings all day. I don't have time to discuss business with you. And that's what you are. If you're the primary treating doc, you don't have time to run your business. You're in meetings all day with patients, earning money. How do you like run it? Just you either got to do it after hours, so you're either staying late or you're running late or you're doing it on weekends and you're doing all that. Put people in place to run their business. You're way too expensive to be paid or lose money of what you can charge in patient care to be buttoning in the toilets, running around this, or ordering the stuff, or where do we get the fax stuff from and who's the person? You actually know you're doing a great job in your practice when you don't even know who supplies that, because that's the manager's job, that's the other person's job. You know, we were joking about it earlier. You know, the staff are adamant Cheryl must not even know how to book a patient. Because That's not her job. It's like, if you have to sit there and take the time to book a patient, we've just lost a whole lot of cash because you got to be doing this.
Yes.
If you're not doing this, we're not earning. So you go back and do this. We'll do a little bit of this and a little bit of this.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the part that was also huge for us because, as I say, you start out on your own, can't afford these stuff. You learn to do it all. And then it's hard to kind of give it up because, well, I mean, I'm just so used to doing this.
But it's very freeing to give it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Thank you, TBA.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, how about this? There's a few things you guys can take from today. We could be talking for hours, but let's go ahead and absorb this as much as we can. Take some time for yourself to keep dreaming. That's, I think, the main thing. Free yourself up to keep dreaming, keep moving forward, to think what your big, hairy, audacious goal is and get the right people on the bus in the right seat to help move you forward. So I say, aim it.
On the boat.
Excuse me, on the boats, right? The right captain, the right first mate, the right shipmates on in the right seat on the right boat to enjoy your life.
Skip up.
Right. Cheers to that, guys. Woo. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.